Hi, welcome Roger to Semicolon Spaces. I'm so happy
Hi,
you're on
Linda.
this show. This podcast is about the pauses in life, the choices we make. The pauses became new path. Wherever you are, post burnout, pre breakthrough, welcome. You belong here, dear pause makers. I'm your host, Linda. It's a very special day, like I said today, that I have my mentor and now friend Roger with me. A bit of introduction about Roger. He spent more than 25 years in the corporate world, from financial services to tech. Now he's a part-time university lecturer, and he called himself a semi-retiree. So I'm keen to find out more about that. He's also an author of this lovely book, Sundays Are for Mummy, a memoir about caregiving and dementia. I had the privilege of getting hired and working with him for a good 5 years. He's one of those wisest people I know that I can count on when I needed advice and guidance. So thrilled that he's here with me today. So maybe a soft start, Roger, again. What was the last time you took a pause? Was the pause intentional?
Well, thanks, Linda. First of all, happy to be here. Very honored to be here. So I think it's obviously fresh on my mind. The last time I took a pause was 2023 in May, so almost 2 years ago. It was definitely intentional. I think like all good pauses, I think if it happens with intention, and then it must mean that it's come with planning and a lot of preparation for it, which then will make that period going forward a lot more productive. So that was when 2 years ago I made the move to spend 50% of my time thereabouts in the US.
Why the US?
Well,
for people who don't know you.
Yes. Well, the US primarily because my husband is from there, and also because I've never lived in the US before. I've lived in Asia, parts of Asia, and a little parts of Europe, but never the US. So it's an interesting new chapter that we thought was quite opportune.
Hello, Byron. Just wanted to take a chance to say hello. Yeah, so, I mean, 25 years in corporate, now you kind of semi-retired, lecturing a little bit, like in Singapore. What was the hardest pause you've made?
I think, I don't know. I mean, one would be tempted to think that, okay, the more you've done it, the easier it becomes. I don't know that's necessarily true. To answer your question, I've made two intentional pauses in the last 5 years, right? So the last one was 2 years ago in 2023 when I made the move to the US, and then 5 years ago, made the move to leave full-time corporate work forever, I think. So
yeah, our loss, between... you know, Roger.
No. Well, you know, I think things have a way of kind of regenerating and refreshing. So it was good for me. I mean, it is good for me. But between these two last pauses, yeah, I would say they're equally difficult in their own ways. So I'm hard pressed to say which was the toughest. But they're primarily quite different moves, and then they are done with for different reasons.
Tell me more about the reasons.
So the most recent one, obviously, because, you know, my husband has lived in Asia for 30 years and I've never lived in the US, and then he wants to go home. So I think it's for the fairness reason, to be fair. And also a little bit selfish is that, okay, I kind of want to live in the US myself as well. The second one, which is, you know, leaving full-time corporate work, aka LinkedIn, the amazing life we had at LinkedIn. The reason was kind of a twofold, if I was honest. The first was I've been planning to leave corporate work for a long time. Right. And the second one was, I think, for my mother. She had dementia. And I just thought, how long more do I have? So these kind of fit in nicely together. My own kind of selfish reason, I don't want to work, I don't need to work, and I'm lucky to not have to work, and my mother needing me. So these two came together, and I thought, okay, let's do it. But even then,
It took 3 years for it to, and from the seedling of an idea to actually executing on it, and we can talk about it later, like who has helped me along the way to think through it, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so again, your book, Sundays with Mummy, has been very heartfelt personally for me. Maybe you want to share a little bit more, I guess, with the listeners here about kind of what happened. And you know, I think one of the lines you mentioned was heavy, yeah. You know, like this line is in the Identity Crisis and Blessing chapter, which I love the sub-chapter name. All of a sudden I had to confront and face up to one of the most frightening questions in my life. If mummy isn't mummy anymore, then who am I? Yeah, so Roger, I let you talk, huh?
Okay, I had something, I lost my train of thought because, you brought up the chapter. I think it's one of those pauses that I think, I like I said, I've been toying with the idea of not working, in Singapore, in Asian terms, we call it tai tai, right? How wonderful it is to be a tai tai, and you don't have to work and all is fine. But it's not very high conviction. I said, okay, just because you don't want to work and then you quit full-time work, it's not very high conviction. So I think in a way, I think my mom, the situation with her, gave us or gave me that conviction. So maybe backtrack a little bit. I think in 2016, she was diagnosed with dementia. Sorry, actually 2014. And by 2016, it had become advanced. So which basically tells us that we were late, right? So we were late. And then that was the wake-up call, like, ooh, how can you be late to this kind of party, so that gave me the first wake-up call, like I need to pay more attention to family. And then by 2018, it just her condition was so advanced that she's basically become totally dependent. So that was when I thought, oh, so she's my mother, but she's not quite my mother because she does not behave like my mother. So, and hence I thought the identity crisis thing was kind of pulled up to the forefront. It is yet another wake-up call to say, oh my goodness, my whole life turned around. Who am I? I don't know. So that was the first time I thought about, okay, I think maybe this is time to leave work. And then now we have at least we have a very, 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 I don't want to say good, but it is a necessary reason, like because I feel I need to spend more time with her before it's too late, right?
Yeah, I know the position was very hard. I guess I joined you 2016, I didn't realize at that point how much you were struggling beneath the very inspiring leader and very wise person that you've always been. Yeah, you were concealing it very well, I mean, until at a point where maybe you couldn't, so retrospect talking about this is I don't know. It's yeah, good way for me to understand how you felt at that time. And sorry, I felt like I should have been there more for you at that time.
Oh, now
Yeah.
it's
So
still raw, still raw.
did you feel like, I mean, after leaving corporate, did you feel like you did what were necessary, I guess, as the son, as a caregiver? You know, how did you feel,
I think I was very lucky. So immediately after I left, I know that on my last day we all had a Zoom call, and then you all came on and surprised me and stuff like that. Next day it was like I flicked on a switch and I had a new life. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think of the times we have at LinkedIn very fondly, and sometimes maybe more often than I like. But when come 1st June, I think 30th of May was my last day. Come 1st June, I was like, oh, I have a new life. I now need to execute on the plans that were laid in motion, right? So part of it was, spending a lot more time with my mom. And the other part was kind of trying to figure out what is it I would do. I mean, already, like I said, planning is paramount for I think pauses that are or pivots that are quite significant. So I already thought, because I always wanted to be a teacher. So and then straight away after I left LinkedIn, so we put that plan to motion, and then I know you make some introductions, and I found myself suddenly teaching one day a week at NTU, which was pretty amazing. It gave me something to do besides and I'll be honest, right? So facing my mom every day isn't necessarily the most joyful thing one can do, let's just say. But it gave me a lot of purpose, but I needed something else, right? So I needed something else, and NTU, bless them, gave me that something else.
Very surprising twist of event, there.
I know,
But
I know.
did you feel that something has changed within you, I guess, as you step off corporate? I think these are the questions a lot of professionals, especially successful ones like you, are thinking about. If corporate no longer serve us, we have other purpose in life. What changed within you doing then, and you felt like it was worth it?
Well, if you ask Byron, I think he would tell you that perhaps I have not left corporate, because he says sometimes when we talk about serious things, I bring back all the frameworks and all these things that we used to. I say, well, this is how we need to think about this. Okay, did we do this? And then, so in some ways, I think corporate served me, and I think it continues to serve. In the ways that we've experienced things that maybe other people have not, and in the ways that we were exposed to many different things and situations. But I would say it's, of course, this is very personal. I mean, everyone has their own story to tell. I just feel liberated, right? I get, and I think you guys probably all know, every day when I was working, I, and you can't tell, but this is what I feel. Every day I wake up, I feel like, oh my God, have I been fired? Or they must have fired me by now. So if you talk about imposter syndrome, I've got it on steroids. Every morning I was, oh, and of course, I haven't been fired. In fact, I mean, I had to kind of retire before they let me go. But so I felt liberated. So every day I wake up now, I do not feel like I've been fired. I do feel like, okay, so it's a new day. What are we gonna do? So I think that's a very, to me, a very nice and very valuable feeling to have.
Liberation. I feel it right now too, by the way.
Yes,
Can just wake up to
liberation.
do this podcast with you,
Right.
and I guess just back to before we step into the present day, which is also fun to talk about, like do you feel like you have to let go of something before you can truly step into this like semi-retirement mode? What is it?
Well, interesting, because I always thought that the new chapters of our life going forward, should overlap with the past chapters. But sometimes it's true, right? So we are who we are because of the past. So if we kind of let go of certain things, maybe we are not as full a person as we should be, right? So, but then again, there are some things I think that we should kind of learn to let go. So maybe I'll just touch on two, right? So the first one is I moved to spend more time in the US because I still live in Singapore half the time. Is I think we need to let, or at least I need to let go of this male Karen mentality. I think a Karen is someone who is very entitled and and always wants to see the manager if something goes wrong, right? So and I say that because coming from Singapore, everything is seems to be perfect. So I think in the US maybe things aren't as there's many great things about the US, but I think maybe healthcare and certain things are not as efficient. So I've learned to kind of let go of this, like, oh my God, like in Singapore, we would have already resolved this, and now why are we still waiting for a week for an appointment to see the doctor, etc. So I've kind of had to let go of that because I'm not in Singapore anymore. I'm in the US. It's a different dynamic. It's a different, situation altogether. So that's one thing I've learned that I need to kind of, let go. The second thing was identity. When I left full-time corporate work, as you rightfully mentioned, I was like, okay, man, who am I, right? So one day, I had a big team. I had many people working with me, and then suddenly I'm like, oh, I'm alone, right? I think most people don't that I've spoken to that who have retired, they don't navigate this situation well. So the identity, okay, I'm whatever CXO of what, but I'm like, you're no longer. You've kind of left that behind. So you kind of have to kind of build on something else. So this is the thing I think is maybe not healthy to bring into the next chapter of our life. I see it as, I love bags, right? So sometimes this bag does not serve the purpose anymore. So, I'm gonna sell it, right? Because I'm so sustainable. I'm just gonna give it away, or dare I say, I'm gonna throw it away, right? And these sometimes certain bags like identity, titles, maybe not good to bring with us once we've made some pivot and moved on to the new chapter. Yeah.
I love your, I guess, sense of balance and perspective. I think you're quite clear where you are and I guess where you want to be. I think that's something to learn from la. Has the definition of success and achievement changed since then? And I guess what do you fight for now?
I tend to want to look at it as like satisfaction and let's say contentment, right? So I actually have, it's hard to believe, but I don't really think of in the even in the past that, oh, I feel like I'm successful or I have achieved this and that. I always thought, oh, am I happy? Am I content? Am I satisfied, right? So like in terms of career progression, do I feel like I'm satisfied with it? Do I feel content? So these are the two words I think usually ring in my mind. So I don't, I think, again, I would be lying if I say, oh, I don't want to feel satisfied or content, because these things never change. I think it's how they manifest that change, right? So now I don't look in terms of like, oh, in order to continue my a certain kind of lifestyle, I need to make this kind of money in order to be satisfied or content. These kind of manifestations or symbols aren't as important to me right now. And it's probably got to do with age as well. I think health, I think, is way really more important. And I know most people will just say whatever, right? But I'm one of these people. When I was younger, and I listened to people who are older than me, is oh, health is the most important. And then I'll be like, whoa. But now here I am, and it is true. Health is number one. And what do I fight for? Quite a few things, but I think the most, probably the most important is like a fight for a home, because now I'm kind of in between. It's not like I have no home. Okay, don't get the wrong idea. I have kind of the opposite. I have something in the US, I have something here. I'm fighting to have like a to not have to do this sort of in between, like a split time between two places. What is that? So sometimes I question this pause, split time, because with a split time, there's a lot of dilution. So I think going forward, the most important thing for me is to fight for a single home in one place.
That will help to anchor, I guess, that next phase, no?
Yes, I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll find it, Roger.
I hope
Between the
so.
two, or maybe there's a third one, who don't who knows, And then I guess tell me more about your teaching. in the university at NTU. This is part of a pause, right? And I guess how has this journey helped you? How are the students now, for example?
I think it's been really fascinating teaching at NTU. And I think I may have said it before, I'm really actually quite grateful for the opportunity that they have given me to, you know, to be able to engage with students, right? So I started as a part-timer, meaning I'm not a full-timer. But in reality, it just means that for one day a week, then that there is a semester I teach the whole day. And then split time between Singapore and the US, I found that I could only do one semester and I can't do both semesters. So now they start calling me the part-time part-timer. It's crazy.
Very funny.
So what I really enjoy about it is the opportunity to, and I mean it in not in a very arrogant way, the opportunity to give back, because I've learned a lot in my career. So the opportunity to kind of give back and engage and exchange with current students who are, I would say, maybe between 20 to 23 years old. So kind of like me, but 30 over years ago, has been rewarding. And I find that, you know, maybe things haven't changed as much, right? So maybe I was, sometimes I'm forced to look at them and then look, oh, maybe I was them. And how I wish then maybe someone at that time, maybe I know I have me to kind of teach me new things and things going on in the corporate world. So it's been very, very interesting for me.
What do you teach them, by the way, Roger?
I teach at the Nanyang Business School. So basically for business students, I teach a core course called Communication Management Strategies. It sounds very glamorous, but it basically is very basic. It's like the thing that we want all students to have a kind of basic level of proficiency in, and not just communicating, but kind of navigating the world of work that is getting so complex, right, these days. So I see that our job is to equip our future business leaders with skills to kind of navigate the work environment when they graduate.
Just on that, there's a lot of anxiety around young graduates these days, like cannot find job. Are you hearing the same thing from your students? Have they been coming to you for, like, I guess, help?
Actually, I think, yes, I have. Yes and no, actually. And it, like I said, it wasn't very different from when I was an undergrad, right? I guess there's always this anxiety, and it could be real, and it could be, you know, self-directed, self-inflicted. And then there's the environment, right? So I think, it, at least in the current situation now, I think the environment isn't the best, right? So things are maybe slowing down a little bit, and then there's always the threat of or the help of AI. It depends on how you look at it. But my students have been, you know, we sometimes during the course of the curriculum, we talk about positioning their image and their capabilities to do exactly what we're talking about, like look for a job, secure a job. But and luckily, I think most of them, because they work really hard, they have a lot of internships. So by the time they graduate, most of them I have found a job before they graduate, thank goodness. And I know that because sometimes they ask me to write recommendation letters for them, you know, I'm doing screening, employment screening, so I know, okay, that's great. So that's the kind of recommendation letter I like to write, because I know that they've gotten a job. So I guess maybe not to sound too positive, I do think that you know, if you know, I still read the news, I still consume quite a bit of news, it does seem that maybe young graduates may have some problems going forward.
But it's great to hear that your students are getting jobs, which is a gleam of hope, if I may say, because, you know, the headlines are saying otherwise, on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, just I just interject. Even one of them, actually, you know, that was last semester. This person wanted to schedule a chat after the semester is over, just to, you know, discuss like which job he should take. So I was like, okay, this is great, right? So you don't only have a job, you have two job offers, or maybe even multiple. Maybe he's being coy about it. So that was a really good conversation I have. And one of the more rewarding parts of the job, I guess, because they always say teaching is you get the feedback instantaneously, which I do. And I get it at the end of semester through the surveys and then, you know, the scores that they score us on. And then there's feedback like this, like when they actually sort of schedule a meeting to get career advice, which is, I love it. I love it.
So what was the one advice that you gave to him in one line, Roger? That helped him make the decision, huh?
Well, I don't know whether it helped, but I do remember thinking that after listening to him talk about it, I said, well, it seems like one job is more glamorous. One job is not as glamorous, but it seems like it is the area you want to do, you want to work in. So one, to be fair, one is like consulting with quite a reputable brand, let's just say. One is kind of more like another type of consulting, but not strategy consulting, right? So obviously implementation, operational sort of stuff. So it's very interesting. It's very easy for someone to be lured to glamour and, you know, and the brand. But I told you, if this is not what you want to do, then you must go with what you want to do. And you know, you're just at the beginning of your career. I mean, you have plenty of time to course correct, you know, I'm sure you make the right choice. But if you don't, you have time to course correct. Yeah.
Always very practical, Roger. I always remember the days when I come to you for advice like that as well. Oh, gosh. Good old days, huh? Talk to me more about your semi-retirement. What does that look like? How does that feel like? I mean, you spoke a little bit about that, you know, obviously starting with the liberation, you know, transforming into a bit of a identity crisis to some extent. But I think I love what you say about satisfaction and contentment. I think that's the feeling that you are after. And, you know, I think that's a very beautiful way to think about it. What does this next phase look like?
You know, it's going to be very disappointing, and you know, but it, I think it is what we want it to look like, right? So so maybe backtrack. So when most people, even some of my old friends, at the beginning of my semi-retirement, they're like, what are you going to do? And then they cannot imagine when my answer is always consistent. I say nothing. They cannot believe me. They say, no, no, no. You have to do something. I mean, we don't believe you. No. I'm like, no. Actually, I said, yes, I do something. I teach part-time at the NTU. They're like, oh, but what else? I said, honestly, there's nothing. So to me, at least to me, my semi-retirement is kind of bland. And that's what I like. You know, if I want it to be very occupied, very full of stuff. I may not have left full-time corporate work. I left full-time corporate work for a reason. So I could, in some ways, declutter, right? So I guess maybe the challenge for me is, and now that I've kind of decluttered a lot, I need to put stuff back a little bit. So, but I'm not rushing to put stuff back. I'm trying to be very intentional about it, but I definitely teaching or teaching part-time or higher education is something I would like to do more of. If I think of things I want to put back into my life or my schedule. But for now, semi-retirement is pretty standard. I wake up, if I'm in Singapore, I trade stocks. Okay. I have coffee. You know, most days I just sit around and lie around and read. talk to friends, or really just do nothing. I'm serious. I am passionate about doing nothing. Most people cannot imagine it, but this is what I like to do. But going forward, like I said, I would like to put things back a little bit. And of course, I travel quite a lot. But I would just caution if someone is planning on semi-retirement and saying, "Oh, I'm going to travel the world," I think it only works for the first 6 months. After that, if you are someone who likes to do things and you like to chill all the time, I think travel is not enough, right? It's not
Traveling can be
enough.
tiring too, right?
It can be tiring. Can be tiring. So for me, I mean, I some travel. Some doing a little catch up with friends, doing a little thing, and teaching part time at the university. That's it's kind of more than enough for me at the moment, because I think if you have decluttered your home before, like seriously decluttered, I think you'll be very mindful before you make the next purchase. So I'm in that state now. So I've decluttered a lot in my life. To want to put things back, I am very, very mindful. And very selective and very critical.
Love that. You reminded me of a line that I read from Arthur Brooke, one of the authors. He said that in your kind of semi-retirement, like kind of second half of the life, you're no longer a blank canvas. In fact, you're more like a sculptor. You're actually peeling away the layers that should truly unfold who you are. So you're actually taking things away, like what you're saying, like decluttering. So I love that. But I can't help it, because your bio says professional ballet dancer, fashion runway model, and tennis player. So how? Any of those coming through in your second half of life?
Unfortunately, they have to remain as aspiring.
I love that. I just have to pick that up with you, Roger. So
aspiring.
no,
It's good to aspire.
yeah, but interest, never dies, right? Okay. I mean, you talk about that a little bit, but again, I always think that life is too short. What does the road ahead looks like? I mean, again, apart from doing nothing, which you love, decluttering, like, what does the next chapter looks like? I mean, since we talk about books,
I think the next chapter for me and is, like I said, I think it's firmly establishing roots somewhere, that is a home, or the new home, or the final home. So for me, that is very important. Actually, just backtrack a little bit, when you talk about like, what makes you happy, what makes you content, or I tell what are your definitions of success and achievement? So recently we were flying from somewhere, I can't I think it was Lisbon to Barcelona on one of our little short trips. And then there was the most horrible turbulence I've ever encountered. I think I've only heard people scream once on a flight, so this is the second time. But the flight attendants were all white knuckled and everybody looked scared to death. I thought this is it, I'm gonna die. And I was like, usually I would be freaking out. I think most people would freak out. But and I was sitting next to Byron, I was like, so, and he could not talk to me. I think he was thinking the same thing, he's gonna die and stuff like that. And I say that because I felt very at peace.
Oh
So
my
we have
God.
to die now. If I had to die now, and he's next to me, and then what's there to worry about?
Oh, cannot, Roger.
I know. No. I'm
Cannot.
just saying, as a kind of next chapter, I'm like, I just want to be at peace and be very happy. Oh, I'll be happy and be at peace, and I don't. When it comes to going, we all don't want to say that. We don't feel like, oh no, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. I'm not saying that I've done everything. I'm saying I've done quite a lot of things I'm quite happy with. And okay, well, if things happen with that is out of our control, like the plane kind of too bad, right? Move on. But I was like, oh, so
I was trying to be chatty, and he was having none of it. And after that, we had a chat, and he was like, why? He didn't understand why I was so calm. I was like, well, I think everything's taken care of, right? So if both of us go at the same time, our families are taken care of. We've had a wonderful 30 years together. So, and then this is not something we can control, right? So give me a parachute. No, we can't. So I think I'm quite feeling quite content. But I also worry, right? With content comes like complacency. Will I stagnate? I think it's very real. So I want to, so I think my best ticket out of this stagnation, or one of my best tickets, is to continue teaching part-time at the university, because the 20 somethings will keep me on my toes.
Oh, completely. Roger, I love and was a little bit fearful of what you said, but like I think being the feeling of being at peace is wonderful, and the fact that you can be so calm reminded me of your very, very visual analogy that you always say you're always a swan on top, but then you're paddling like mad in the lake underneath. Yeah, so
It's
I
true,
always
it's
remember
true,
that.
it's true, it's true.
So I don't know, maybe at that point you really felt like a swan and you were calm and I guess you were
Yeah.
happy, with things,
At
So
that
it's a
time, I
great.
was, yeah. I would say at that time, I truly thank you for that thing. I have not thought about that forever. I think that has that swan that is paddling furiously under the surface, but looking very at peace, is my corporate persona. I think since I left, I've not thought about it. But thank you for bringing it up. But I think the swan has evolved to be very paddling, very calmly nowadays. I think, I hope, which is good.
Your own pace. Yes. Love that. Roger, I also want to, I guess we're coming to the close of the recording, but before I ask you my last question, I wanted to also take some time for you to celebrate someone that you love very dearly.
Yes.
And someone who actually inspired, I guess, our conversation a lot today, which is your mommy, whom you look a lot alike, by the way.
Oh, without
She
the
Okay, we shall not talk about hair today.
Yeah.
I love this line that you said, "Mummy starred as the leading actress in all these memories, some dating back to more than 40 years ago. They define her and what she meant to me, and the many lessons that she taught me." And then you go on to say you will always be her son. So I wanted you to, I guess, take some time, say a few words about her. And her legacy, and I don't think we do enough of that for the people we love, and myself included, so yeah, Roger, please.
I think I will say it in silence, if you don't mind. I
Okay,
just kind of,
sure.
or rather, no, maybe that's not, that's kind of ridiculous.
Because we're on a podcast,
So
maybe.
I know, right? We're not meditating. So I would just say, I was, of course, she will always be a part of me. I'm surprised, so it's been 3 years since she passed. Yeah, it's interesting. So, I was gonna say, I was in I think the first year, I thought of her a lot. I dreamt of her a lot. I know, now fewer. Less frequently, but I think just 2 nights ago, I dreamt that we were on a vacation with my father, and then they were causing problems as always, during vacation. So, but these are the things that I think about. But I'm just starting to wonder whether things have normalized so much. And I know sometimes grief is doesn't expire. But I do think that they kind of peter out at some point. So I don't think of her as often. But when I do think of her and I dream of her, it's very vivid. Like 2 nights ago, I was like, this is very, very strange. And very nice that we are on vacation, but also very frustrating because they always like, oh, the luggage here, luggage there, and it's all too real. But and to celebrate her life, I would say she's left a legacy, obviously. Me.
And
Oh,
hopefully,
for sure.
So.
Yes, she's left a wonderful legacy. Thank you for sharing her story in the book. And I would, anybody who's going through hard times, I guess, managing loss and I guess grief with the loved one. Do read Roger's book. It's really, really heartfelt. And I am a big fan. I have to reread this book again just so that I can revisit the story again. So thank you, Roger, for doing this. I'm sorry I made you cry. sorry. Don't worry, I'll put it on video.
Okay.
Okay, one final question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So this podcast, Semicolon Spaces, is about stories like yours. Someone who's taken unintentional, intentional pauses. I guess going through life, the highs and lows. Who would you like to hear from? Who should I interview next?
Oh my goodness, plenty, right? And like you said,
Gosh.
it's kind of the stories of people, ordinary people. So, I so my topic would obviously, so I think, yeah, so day to day, everyone, normal, everyday people, average. Someone, just because I was just on a certain social channel before I came on to speak to you, I saw his update. I think it would be interesting to hear from him because he's got a pretty interesting pause, pivot, transformation, whatever you call it. So from being the CEO of China News Asia, suddenly, for years I heard that he has moved to Myanmar and then he's back in Singapore now for quite a while already. And now is a very prominent writer who has won a lot of awards. It's like the patron to the art, so he's kind of very artsy now. Stuff like that. So Woon Tai Ho would be someone I think is interesting to hear from. Just because there's so many facets to his pivot or his pause. Or his pauses, I should say, and the things that he have kind of started to do are so different from what he did in the past, So.
Yeah, spot on. I'm kind of looking for like life after CEO, because you're kind of at the top, right? And then like what happens after, right? It's a pretty different path, huh?
Right,
But yeah, thank you for
right.
the session. Okay, thank you, Roger. It's
Oh, you're
so
welcome. You're
precious to
welcome.
me that you are here. Yeah, thank you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you for
Linda.
sharing
Thank you,
yourself.
Linda.
Thank you for sharing about the stories, and I wish you all the best, Roger. I love that you love doing nothing. I should learn from you, and you help us and help me especially rethink what matters in life. It's not so much about the corporate success, the titles, and the money and stuff like that, but really looking for the satisfaction, the contentment, and I can tell you find a lot of joy in helping students who may be very different from what we were or what I was last time. And I think that gives you energy, and I hope you will continue to do that to really impact more people, younger people. So NUS, SMU, and all the other universities, do look out. You have a wonderful professor who's willing to give back. Call him, Mr. Roger Pua. Yeah, thank you
Thank
so
you
much,
for the
Roger.
plug, Linda. Thank
Yes.
you. Thank you. It's been so fun chatting.
Thank you. Talk to you
All
soon.
right. Bye. Bye for now.